We're talking about the top news of the day, the passage of right-to-work legislation in Wisconsin.
This morning, the Wisconsin State Assembly passed right-to-work legislation after 24 hours of debate. The bill bans labor contracts requiring workers to pay union fees. The measure was moved quickly through the state legislature in an extraordinary session. Governor Walker is expected to sign it as early as Monday.
Jeff Vash is with a union that will be affected. He's the president of the local UAW 180 in Racine. Jeff, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica, for this opportunity to talk.
When you first heard that Republican lawmakers were considering right-to-work legislation here in Wisconsin, what went through your mind?
I was concerned. I was extremely concerned for not only unions, but all of the citizens of Wisconsin.
And did you imagine that the bill would move quickly? It was fast-tracked through the legislature. Republicans had the vote, so they wanted to move it forward. What was your take on how quickly right-to-work legislation moved?
Well, I don't think that any legislation of this degree should be moved through the process that quickly. This is a game changer for our state. So people deserve the right to be heard. I mean, when I went through the Senate, there were many people that had signed up to be heard, to speak on the issue, that never even got the opportunity. So anytime you take that right away from the people, this is a wrong process.
Are you surprised that this bill passed in the state's legislature and looks to be signed on Monday by Governor Walker?
No, I'm not surprised at all. In fact, right after the elections, when we have a majority of Republican representatives in all of the houses and the executive branch, I had anticipated this would happen sooner or later. I did not anticipate it happening this soon, although I knew it was going to happen sometime this year.
Did you take part in any protests or do anything to try to stop the progress of the bill?
Actually, I did. I was up in Madison 3 times last week. I have a daughter up there, so I'm concerned about all of it. I'm concerned not only about right to work, but I'm concerned about the budget. And there was a lot of talk about this right to work debate masking some of the things that were happening in the budget. So I was concerned about all of that. So, yes, I did go up there a few times last week.
I want to go back to 4 years ago when Act 10 passed and changed things drastically for public sector unions. Did you think at the time that something similar could happen with private sector unions?
I think it was at that point when I knew that something could happen with public sector unions. I think it was just the natural progression. That's why we worked hard. We worked hard during the elections to try and get politicians in place that understand what this means to our state, our community, our workers. And I was disappointed with the results of the election. But that's what happens when people get complacent, and I hated to see that, but that's the way that went down.
Did you participate in any of those protests with public sector unions against Act 10 when that debate happened in Wisconsin? You said you were in Madison last week. Were you there 4 years ago?
Absolutely. I went up there a dozen times. Like I say, I have a daughter at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, so I'm very familiar with Madison. I go up there often, and I'm just concerned. I was very concerned with that. I knew the downward spiral would start then, and it did. So yes, I was heavily involved in that. I bet you I went up there a dozen times during Act 10.
Did the protests feel similar to you from Act 10, and also again before right to work legislation was passed?
It was very similar. It all has to do with taking workers' rights away from them, right? The opportunity for them to sit down with the people, whether it be a company or a board, an education board, and express what they feel is the best thing, not only for the workers, the teachers in that aspect, or the public servants. We had an opportunity to try and look at what was important, and not only for those people, but for our communities. For example, a teacher, if they have to deal with things within their classroom, and they need help from the board, what is the better way, the best way to approach that? It's go to the board, see if you can discuss this, and within a collective bargaining agreement where nobody can actually back away from a commitment, that's where you have an opportunity to try and fix a lot of the issues within not only a workplace, but within a structure, within a school system, within the education system.
One concern that critics of right-to-work legislation have had is that they worry that wages will be lower. Is that one of your concerns?
Absolutely. I think that, and as I was listening to the hearing last night, there was so many numbers being thrown out all over, and a lot of them were numbers from private studies. So I kind of disregarded all of that, and I looked specifically for numbers from our government. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that's the first thing that I listened to, actually had that statistic at right-to-work states had their earnings were about 3.2% less than regular states that didn't have right-to-work. So it was a concern. It's going to continue to be a concern, especially in a depressed economy like we have in Wisconsin.
Well, people who support the right-to-work bill say that it will make Wisconsin more competitive, bring in businesses that will in turn bring in jobs and give workers freedom to decide whether or not to pay dues. What do you think of that argument?
Well, let's look at the facts. Since Taft-Hartley, nobody has ever had to become a member of a union. All right. There's so much. There was a court case called it was with Beck. Beck actually, the ruling on Beck stated that anybody that was in the union, if they had problems with the political structure and the political support of the union, they did not have to contribute to that part of it. And Beck actually is in effect. I mean, I've had some of our members that have asked to be Beck objectors, and you have to honor that. So if that's a concern, if the political part is a concern, that's been taken care of. Nobody has to be a member, but in our state and under our guidelines and in our collective bargaining agreement, we do have to pay our fair share. It costs money. It needs support. Collective bargaining process needs support. Arbitration needs support. So the cost of representation in a facility is much larger than people realize. And that's for the best of all. It's for the best of all of our members.
And you're getting at this a little bit now, but how would you make the case that it's worth it to give up some of your earnings to pay union dues?
I think anybody that has been a member of a union, and I heard testimony of some people that were members that had a bad experience. Well, that's going to happen in any organization. But I think any member that has been part of a union and really realize the services that are offered for such a small amount of dues, a small amount of their income, would tell you that the representation that they get, the ability to collectively bargain a contract that not only has to do with their wages and their benefits, it has a lot to do with their work conditions, too. I would think that the majority of the people, and that's why all those people were up there this last week, is they have seen it firsthand, and they believe in what they've participated in. I know I have. I've been a member for 39 years, and I would not be without a union.
How do you think that the passage of this right-to-work bill could change your everyday life and also change things for your local United Auto Workers 180?
Well, here's my biggest concern. And a lot of people think that local unions take care of their own. And although it is true, our local union, and you can go way back in our charters and our constitution of the United Automobile Workers, our union is much more than just a labor union. It's a social union. We believe in justice on all levels. So if you want to take a look at, some of the things that we've done, we're not only in the plant, we're all over. Think of some of the things that unions have been responsible for. We've been responsible for legislation. We've been responsible for contract wages, paid vacations, paid holidays, retirement plans, health insurance within the workplace, overtime pay, sick leave, seniority rights, recall rights. We have some people out on layoff right now. The thing that they have is they have the ability to come back before any other hiring because they have recall rights. In my process here in Case, I've been laid off several times. Every time, my recall rights brought me back. They gave me the priority of coming back to work at my workplace. Look at arbitrations, grievances, safety standards. They've been involved in all of this. Within our community, what about public schools? Free textbooks, one man, one vote, workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, minimum wages. All of that has come through the support of organized labor unions. Unions have pushed that. They've supported our working class people in our state and throughout the whole country.
And we leave it there. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, you have a good day.
That was Jeff Vash, president of the local UAW 180, which represents hourly paid employees at JIKCNH in Racine. We'll talk with a supporter of the right to work legislation Monday on Central Time.